Hello, welcome to today's webcast. My name is Josh Becker, the CEO of Lex Machina. Today's webcast is The Future of Law, How to Win New Business with Legal Analytics. This is the second of a series of thought leadership discussions that we will host in regular intervals. Let me start by introducing our panel for today. First, Naveen Modi. Naveen is the Global Vice Chair of the Intellectual Property Group at Paul Hastings. He oversees the firm's global intellectual property group with more than 100 attorneys. Naveen's practice includes all aspects of patent-related work, including litigation, post-grant proceedings, interferences, client counseling, appeals, and opinions. With over 300 post-grant proceedings, Naveen is one of the foremost experts in challenging and defending patents before the USPTO. In fact, as we reported in Lex Machina's 2015 PTAB report, Naveen was involved in more PTAB proceedings than any other practitioner in the United States. Naveen has won more awards than we can cover on today's webcast, is a very popular speaker, and teaches courses on appellate practice at George Mason University School of Law. Thanks for joining us today, Naveen. Also, we have Rich Baer. Rich is the general counsel of Liberty Media Corporation. Liberty is a collection of companies collectively worth about $50 billion. It has investments in a portfolio of companies worth $100 billion, including names I'm sure you recognize, SiriusXM, Formula One, Expedia, TripAdvisor, Charter Communications, and others. Rich once told me that he has spent about $2 billion on litigation without data, and he plans to spend the next billions or such with data and analytics. Rich has been with Liberty since 2013. Before that, he held senior executive positions at United Health Group Incorporated and Quest Communications. And prior to his in-house experience, Rich was the chairman of the litigation department at the Denver law firm of Sherman & Howard. He holds a BA from Columbia University and a JD from Duke University. Thank you both for joining today. First, let me start out by talking about why we're doing this webcast in this series. When we built Lex Machina, we built it really for litigation strategy, right, to help people win cases using data analytics. And what we found is that ultimately people do use it for that, but really the way in, especially to law firms, but also to companies, was around business development. Firms were using it to compete and win business. And why is that? Well, as we can see on this slide, and quickly look at some trends, as we know, while firms like Paul Hastings are doing great, there has been an erosion of demand as there's competition from alternative service providers. Also, companies are taking more business in-house. And there's some other trends, and these were all noted in the 2016 Altman Weil report. Clients are demanding more efficiency and transparency and expecting technology expertise. So in this environment, to remain competitive, you do have to differentiate. You do have to lead the competition. You do have to provide measurable value. That's why people have been using Lex Machina for business development. And let me start out with Naveen. And Naveen, maybe you could tell us, what are some of the challenges and opportunities you are seeing in this environment? And how has winning business changed over the last 5-10 years, in your opinion?
Sure, Josh. And thanks for having me on this webcast and panel. I think it has actually changed quite a bit. So over the last 10 years, in terms of getting new business, and what has happened is, I think 10 years ago when we went to look for new business or we were pitching a case, we had to create the data manually. And even when you were able to create the data, you didn't really have the entire picture. And with the tool like, you know, the tools that Lex Machina provides, I think you can actually take the data that Lex Machina gives you, and there are many apps that are available that you can actually use to really help you pitch a case, and it really helps, it certainly has helped us in the pitching process. So let me give you an example. You know, for example, you know, in terms of our pitches, they're pretty data heavy these days. So, you know, whether we're looking at the particular company that was sued, you know, who's the opposing counsel, judge, lawyer, law firm, right? You can go out, get information on these, you know, from websites. But if you use Lex Machina, the kind of information you can get is actually very useful, right? For example, you can very quickly look at How many cases has a firm that just sued a particular company that you're trying to pitch to, how many cases has this firm handled? What kind of cases have they been? And what that gives you is a picture as to how aggressively, for example, you want to pitch for a case. What are the strategies you want to use? If they settle very quickly, do you want to kind of build that into your pitch? So really, I think depending on the case, what has changed over the last few years is clients want to hire a firm that can handle the case, most efficiently. And when I say most efficiently, I mean not only from a cost perspective, but also a strategy perspective. For example, many times you get sued or a client gets sued, and there are 10 different companies involved. So, when you can drill down and get data not only on the lawsuit, but also the companies that are involved, lawyers that are involved, the judges that are involved, and the courts that are involved, and get that data in a fashion as it's presented with Lex Machina, it's very useful.
Excellent. Well, let me turn that over to Rich. Rich, how do you see, first, what reactions do you have to what Naveen said, and how do you see being able to use a product like Lex Machina when you are deciding, which law firms to use?
Sure. Again, thank you for including me as well this afternoon. Look, in the past, and frankly, still a lot today, most clients, like myself, are making decisions as to who to hire based on anecdotal information as opposed to actual data. And what's anecdotal information is just personal accounts of a lawyer's experience and of their record. And we spend collectively as general counsel of Fortune 50 companies or Fortune 100 companies, literally billions of dollars a year on lawyers. And we are making procurement decisions just like the rest of our company is making. But the rest of our company, if they're deciding to buy a telephone switch or buy software, they're making those decisions based upon actual data that assesses the competitive products, that assesses the performance of a particular product. We are, again, just doing it based on anecdotal information. And so the data that Lex Machina can provide me as a acquirer of legal services allows me to make a far more intelligent decision on, one, the particular law firm, two, how the particular law firm compares to other law firms that we're considering, and also how they compare to the norm before a particular judge or within a particular district or with respect to a particular type of case. So again, we're looking at this as being a more informed customer. And that's what Lex Machina allows us to do.
And how would you, you mentioned when we were chatting before this about the opportunity that this provides to law firms, in your opinion?
Well, again, I maybe it's just the law firms I'm using, but I still see these pitches coming in where they're just using anecdotal information. Oh, yes, we've been in front of this judge approximately 10 times. And if you try to drill down as to the nature of the cases that they've handled in front of the judge and the records and how the cases were resolved, it's like pulling teeth. And it's and certainly not verifiable data. Again, it's just personal accounts of experience. So I think a firm, and I encourage all firms, to use a product like Lex Machina's to distinguish their pitches from all of the other firms that are coming in with anecdotal information. And you can use the data to show, look, here's our record in front of this judge, indisputable. Here is the average record in front of this court. Indisputable. Here are the other firms you're considering. Here are their records. That's real data that allows a client to make a far more informed decision. And if you as the firm are serving up that data, you will be looked at, frankly, much more as sort of the speaker of truth than someone who's just doing the classic marketing.
Excellent. Before we go back to Naveen, maybe for some specific examples, Rich, maybe you could talk a little, and you've touched on this, but a little bit more about just at a high level, how you think about kind of valuing a case and sort of risk reward, what's a reasonable settlement, and how a product like Lex Machina, how data can help you maybe value a case more accurately.
Sure. I think any sophisticated client looks at litigation the same way it looks at a transaction. It has a value. Now, what are the components of assessing that value? Some are more easy to document and quantify than others, but all cases have a value. And again, we will go, and in the past, we would go to our outside litigation firm and tell us, give us your view on what is a reasonable settlement value of this case. And they would use anecdotal information based upon their prior experience with these type of cases to say, look, we think you have a 50% chance of winning, and we think if you're a defendant that the likely verdict or judgment against you if you were to lose would be $200 million. So we think the reasonable settlement value is $100 million. Well, that is, you know, that is so elemental and so simplistic of a way to value a case. The data that Lex Machina allows us to have access to allows that risk assessment to be far more reliable because it has far more information. We can really understand how a particular type of case is resolved nationwide, within a particular district, within a particular, in front of a particular judge, whether it's a jury trial, whether it's a bench trial. All of that data can be incorporated into our risk assessment. So frankly, we can get a much more accurate view of what is the reasonable settlement value of a case.
Excellent. Thank you. Very helpful. Naveen, any comments on that before we turn it back over to you for some specific examples?
No, I think if actually we go through some examples, I think it will actually help, expand on what Rich just pointed out.
Okay. So all the viewers, you should be seeing my screen. And quickly, for those of you who have not seen Lex Machina, just to orient you, as you can see at the top bar, there's information about courts and judges, about counsel, about law firms and attorneys, about parties, cases, documents, patents, and then these apps that Naveen referred to that we will show. And what I'm looking at here is these are patent cases filed this month. So 279 patent cases filed thus far this month. And Naveen, do any of these look interesting to you?
The Phillips case looks interesting. Can we maybe pull that up and we can maybe use that as an example?
Sure. Okay. I've clicked into that case.
Go ahead.
Well, so you can see a couple things up at the top about the court and the judge. Does that give you any information right away?
Absolutely, right. So I think this screen, and I think it may be a little slow in refreshing because what I'm seeing on my screen, Josh, is still the case list.
Okay. Let's see. I'm showing.
Okay. Now I see it.
Okay.
Okay, great. So we can see, right, this is a fairly new case. And if I am a law firm that wants to, let's say, go after this case and pitch for this case, this tool can really help us. Lex Machina can really help us. So if we can click on the plaintiff on the screen.
So if you...
I just want to get to the law firm, right? I think if you click on the plaintiff, it will show us the law firm that's representing them.
Yeah, that's showing on my screen, but it sounds like it's taking a little time to filter through the webcast itself. Let me know when you see when you can see that. But you mentioned at the top part, we see that this is in front of Judge Gilstrap in the Eastern District of Texas. Which we have a lot of information on Judge Gilstrap that we'll come back to a judge example. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the law firm now?
I am seeing it. So, right. So what I want to do is, let's say, again, if I'm using this tool, I want to learn more about this law firm. So if you can click on the law firm.
Okay. I've just done so.
And we'll just give it a minute. And while we're waiting for it to update, I'll just kind of preview because I certainly have used this tool in the past. I think what you'll see is once we get the data, and I know it's actually much faster than it's sort of showing right now, you'll see when the screen pops up, there are a lot of metrics that are shown for this law firm. There will be a summary screen, there will be client lists, and a lot more detail that we can get. So I you know, it should be pulling up here in a minute. Here we go. So if you can look, if you just stay on this screen for a minute, you know, on the top you can see there's a summary, there's district court cases, PTAB trials, client list, district court judge appearances, and PTAB judge appearances. So if we can, and it also shows you this, you know, on the summary, kind of the cases that they've done, right? So you can see on the plaintiff side, they've been more of a plaintiff firm, right? So that gives you some information when you're pitching for a case. But let's drill down a little bit more. Can we click on district court cases?
Sure. Okay, let me know when that updates.
It hasn't come up yet, but again, and I'll preview this. When it comes up, it's going to show us some information about the types of cases they've handled and the disposition of these cases, again, which can be very useful information. So it should be pulling up here any minute.
And as you noted, one tab we're not clicking on is the client list, which if we did so, we would see the kinds of firms that this kind of companies that this law firm generally represents. And in this case, it shows they're very much NPEs, non-practicing entities, or some call patent, you know, PMEs, patent monetizing entities that are shown in the client list.
That's right. That's right. And now we have a list, the summary of the cases, the types of cases they've handled. And again, you know, you have a sort of a summary. And then, if we can go to, can we click on timing? And what, again, and, you know, I know it's sort of taking a little bit of time to pull this information up, but in real time, it's actually pretty quick. But what this will show you is when we click on timing, and I know it's still not up yet, but it will be up soon, it will show you how long they are taking for each of their cases. And I think it's very telling when this actually pulls up. I think it's going to show, my guess is on this firm, that their cases get settled pretty quickly because they're a plaintiff's firm, and like Josh mentioned, they're cases that are NPE cases. So once the timing is up, here we go. And as you can see, they really haven't, they've taken only two cases to trial, nine cases have reached summary judgment, and then five or four cases have terminated. So, and if you can go to the top here, Josh.
Yeah, would you like me to click on, should I go right to the damages?
If you can, that would be great.
Great, I just clicked on that. By the way, while that's loading, if you have any questions, we've kept this to a quick 30 minutes, but we may have time for a few questions at the end. And there was a window for you to type in questions for those listening. So feel free to type in questions, and we will try to work in a couple of those in our last 10 minutes here. Let me know when the damages has come up.
I think it's going to come up here in a second. It just the cursor just went there. But you know, again, I think it will, here we go. It's up. So you can actually see that the damages amounts here aren't actually that huge, right? It's $2 million. So what, again, that tells me is collectively the whole you know, the tool gives me a lot of information, right? It's given me information about this law firm. It's given me information about how many cases they've handled, how many are plaintiff's cases, how many are defendant cases, how many cases they've taken to trial. So when I'm pitching for this, I can really give the client, Rich, a true picture of what may happen. So Rich, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, because I feel like some of this is the type of information you were talking about.
No, exactly, Naveen. This is the type of information that, frankly, we haven't seen much in pitches, but if a firm like yours was using it, I think you could really distinguish yourself, because this not only can help us assess what the plaintiff's firm is like, it'll help us determine what's the best strategy here? Do we mediate up front? It'll also help us when we're across the table from the plaintiff's counsel and they're making claims that they have all this trial experience and or they've gotten all these great results. We'll have real data. That will probably put a lie to much of what they're saying. So for a variety of reasons, this data can be very, very helpful to the client. And again, a wonderful way for a law firm to distinguish themselves from their competitors when they're pitching a business, because, as you said, most of the competitors aren't using this type of data.
And Josh, I know we only looked at the law firm, and we probably won't have time on this webcast to go into the plaintiff, you know. But I'll just mention it that you can obviously we only drill down on the law firm, but I think if we had drilled down on the plaintiff, I think that would probably give us more data that if I were to guess, it's going to be very sort of consistent with this law firm and the types of cases they're handling. Again, information that can be very useful for a pitch. But if we have, do we have some time? I think so, right? Can we do one more quick example? Because I think it'll be helpful that we certainly do when we do pitches here at our firm. So if we can go to Delaware, you know, as you know, let's assume that, you know, a client of ours a company was sued in Delaware and you want to try to pitch for that case. So maybe we can pull up Delaware and kind of the resolutions in Delaware at a sort of macro level.
Yep, I just pulled it up. Let me know when it comes up on your screen. And while that's loading, we did get one question in, which is for Naveen, around PTAB. Do you find that, obviously PTAB is a relatively new kind of proceeding, do you find that data helps in PTAB proceedings as well?
It does, absolutely. And, you know, again, with Lex Machina's tools, you can actually go down to even the level of a judge, right, how they are deciding cases at the institution and final decision. So it is very helpful, and I certainly use it even, you know, kind of sort of two ways, right? One is to pitch for a PTAB case, but also to actually look at and get information about the forum, the cases, the judges. So it is actually very helpful. So, okay, so I think we have the Delaware example up. So now here what we can see is, so let's say if a company was sued in Delaware and I want to pitch for this case. If you look at Delaware, it's a pretty, you know, it seems like it's plaintiffs win more often, right? So you have 325 wins versus 235. But, you know, I know there are a lot of ANDA litigations that are filed in Delaware. So let's exclude those and see what the data looks like. So can we do that?
Yep. So what I'm going to do, I'm pulling up some of the tags that are in Lex Machina. We have tagged all the ANDA cases, 1,300 of them in Delaware, and I'm going to now exclude them. Let me know when that comes up. And it's interesting to see, and Naveen, I'm sure you've seen this, how different districts at different times are taking preeminence, right? Delta, you know, obviously the Eastern District of Texas, and then Delaware rose for a long time and then switched back more to Eastern District. So that's something that you can follow with these trends and you know, with a tool like this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, again, because I've done this before with Lex Machina and I've tried to pitch for a case, you know, I think this is going to show, okay, here we go. So the screen is up now. And as you can see, when you exclude the ANDA cases, and in this example, you know, I had assumed the case was not an ANDA case, right? So it was, let's say, an ANPE case that was filed against a technology company. The defendants actually have a better win ratio than the plaintiffs, right? So now let's say we have one more data point. Let's say we know who our judge is in Delaware. So you know, let's assume it's Judge Andrews. Can we drill down to Judge Andrews and see what his cases look like in Delaware?
Yep, great. I clicked on that. Let me know when that comes through. And again, for the viewers, we have 5 minutes left. If there's any questions, please let us know. We will be recording this. There's another question that came in. We will be recording this, and everybody who has registered will get a link to the webcast. So that is another question that came in, and we will make sure to do that.
Okay, so and I know what's going to happen here because I certainly have had cases before Judge Andrews. Here we go. It is up, and you can see actually once you drill down to the judge level, we are now at 57 cases for defendants versus 18 cases for plaintiffs. So you can see it's a Judge Andrews is pro defendant, at least in this data that's shown. So what this shows us is that initially if you were a company that was sued in Delaware and if you were pitching for that case, you may think, okay, maybe we want to transfer out of Delaware. But once you drill down to the right case, that type of case, and the judge, you can actually get a lot more information. And you may say to yourself, well, this is not such a bad jurisdiction, so maybe we do want to litigate in this jurisdiction. So I know we're running out of time. So, Josh, I think those are the kind of examples that I had in mind. But if Rich, I don't know if you want to add anything. Otherwise, I guess we can take questions.
Yeah, no, I have nothing to add, but why don't we try to turn to the questions, because this type of data is really powerful and allows us to have so much more insight into a value of a case.
Great. Just got another question in for Rich. And the question is, Rich, you talked about how law departments are sort of changing to some extent, where you contrasted them to other parts of the business in terms of access to data. I guess the question is, do you see law departments changing and becoming more data-driven generally?
I'm not seeing it, but I'm predicting that if they don't, they're going to get outsourced, because most companies are starting to hold their law departments to the same rigor that they're hiring or holding the rest of their company to by way of procurement decisions. And no one likes to admit it, but what lawyers do in-house is procure legal services. And so I see much more rigor being applied going forward by the CEOs and CFOs of various organizations.
And related question came up for Naveen. Naveen, within your firm, do you see the firm embracing technology more generally, and any predictions for what's on the horizon?
Absolutely. We definitely rely on tools like Lex Machina when we are either pitching for cases or strategizing about cases. We definitely embrace it and use it not only for business development, but also actually in our cases.
Excellent. Well, since we just have a couple minutes left, I want to mention, as Jörg brings up the last slide here, that this is a series, and the next Future of Law webcast will be about judge analytics, predicting the behavior of the courtroom's boss. So we touched on that a little bit today when we dove into Judge Andrews and saw how different he was than from the rest of Delaware. As a preview, Naveen, any other comments on judges and assessing judges using data? And do you see judges relatively consistent over time, or do you see, if you're able to slice down into a period of, say, last few years, do you see judges changing behavior much?
I think obviously I think it depends on the judge. I think, but if you have a tool like Lex Machina, it really does give you the type of information you need to really help not only, I guess, like I said, help you run a case, but also help you kind of advise a client, whether it's in a pitch or otherwise. But I think you will definitely see trends with this data, and then you'll actually learn a lot about a judge, whether they're consistent or not in sort of certain types of rulings and what they do.
Excellent. We've one more question came in, but we're going to get cut off in the last 30 seconds, so we'll try to respond to that offline. I want to thank Naveen. Naveen, that was great teeing up our next webcast on the 25th. I want to thank Naveen and Rich for joining us. Thank you to all our viewers, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next webcast.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks all.